Hey, hey, hey. Or should I say hello, 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 as Valerie Cherish from The Comeback says. Anyway, it's Connery here, and I want to tell you all about our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. We've got an amazing episode for you today with Ms. Brittany Johnson, who is a queen. Actually, she kind of plays a queen. Is Glinda a queen? Anyway, moving on from that, you're going to love that episode. But I want to tell you that if you're listening to this on Wednesday, this upcoming Friday, we've got a brand new episode for you on the main feed that you can watch on our Patreon. So make sure you go in and subscribe, whether you're listening to this on Wednesday, whether you're listening to this in the future. It's $5, and you'll be able to watch the bonus episode. And let me tell you, there are some spooky, kooky things going on, and you're going to want to see what's happening. There's also tons of old videos from your favorite guests. There's 2 to 5 bonus episodes a month. You get access to the drama Instagram's close friends. What more could you want? $5 a month, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. Let's do it.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater, pop culture, love,
and life in New York City and the world. I'm Dylan McDowell.
And I'm Connor McDowell. And Dylan, we are still in a pandemic.
We are.
And you know what I realized, though? I mean, hopefully it's going to be over soon. But, you know, when the pandemic started and I kind of finally, like, the shock wore off that I was going to have a lot of free time, I was like, oh my God, I can finally binge watch all these shows and watch all these movies. But now we're almost a year into this. And it's dawned on me that the pandemic's ending and I haven't even gotten through like half of my list of things to watch.
I know. There will always be things. It'll continue to pile up as the years go on.
You're right. I mean, we've been watching The Sopranos.
I know. We're doing that together with our fam.
Yeah, which is so good.
Yeah.
Every episode is very long, as HBO shows are, but they fly by. It's so well written.
Mm-hmm.
It is very violent, which can be disturbing at times.
I know, but you know what's so weird is I feel like I'm so numb to certain like violence from movies and TV shows that like when it happened on The Sopranos, I was like, oh my God, they're really doing that to somebody. They're putting them through a meat grinder. Like it's very Sweeney Todd at times.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think like violence in The Sopranos is different than like violence in like The Avengers. You know what I mean? It just feels so much different.
Yeah, that's fair.
What have you been binging without me?
Oh my God. Well, you know, I made my way through Housewives of Potomac, Housewives of Salt Lake City. I kind of have backed away from TV though.
Yeah, you were reading.
I'm trying to read a lot more. And we, of course, finished a TV show, but I know you want to talk about it later in your dose of drama.
Yes. Okay. So we'll talk about that later, but let's bring our guest in.
This is like such an exciting moment for us. We love our guest today. And I want you to read the intro and everyone's going to be gagged.
Yes. Okay. It's good to see her, isn't it? Our guest today is best known for making history as the first Black actress to play Glinda the Good in Wicked the Musical on Broadway. She's also been seen on Broadway as Eponine and Fantine in Les Miserables, for which she made history in 2015 for being the first and only Black woman to ever play both roles in the same day. Crazy. Our guest played Little Eva in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, understudied the role of Diana Ross in Motown, the musical, performed on stage with Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard, and was a special guest in Kristen Chenoweth's For the Girls Broadway concert engagement. You might even recognize her from the Las Vegas production of Mamma Mia or when she toured with Les Mis. She's a triple threat, having led companies, understudied in them, swung in and out of them, and been a shining light of positivity and talent throughout. She's a performance coach, available to connect on Broadway Plus. And we are thrilled to have her on the pod today. Please welcome to Drama, Brittany Johnson.
Hi. Oh my gosh, that intro was so nice. I feel like I need to steal it. Can you send that to me?
Oh yeah, it's yours. It's all yours.
Brittany, welcome to Drama. Are you well?
I am. I'm doing well. Are you well?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I certainly feel like a pandemic depression that just doesn't seem to go away, but I'm powering through and finding things to do every day that, you know, keep me a little bit motivated. But, you know, there are days I just do not want to get out of bed. You know, it's been a rough year.
Oh, I have those too. Today is a great day though. And I'm in California now. So being able to open the windows and have a sunny blue sky is definitely helpful.
I'm so jealous. Are you in like the LA area?
I am. I'm in North Hollywood, which sounds really fancy, but actually it's not. It's like the suburbs.
I love that.
When did you move out west? I mean, it was after Broadway shut down, right? Obviously.
Yeah, it was a few months after, actually, because I went home to Maryland. I'm from Maryland. So I went home first, and then I drove across the country with my best friend in September, and I've been here ever since.
Oh my God.
Wow. Was the road trip fun?
It really was. I really love road trips. I've wanted to do a cross-country road trip for years. And, you know, there's never a time, like there's never a time on a Broadway schedule really to do anything except for, you know, you get a 1 week vacation every 6 months, and that, and 1 week is not long enough to go across the country. So
no,
we did it in my Toyota Corolla, which maybe wasn't ideal, but it's like two adults and two cats in a Toyota Corolla trying to get across the country. But we had fun.
Now, were the cats caged or were they like roaming free throughout the car?
One of them, she's kind of scared. She's opened up a lot since moving so much, but she just kind of hung out in the cage the whole time. The other one, he would just cry and talk the whole time. Aww. Until you let him out. So he got to roam free. He would end up just in my lap though, or he liked to be in the back window and he'd just sit there and watch everything.
Aww. Oh my God, that's so
cute.
No,
Brittany, it's crazy because literally last March you were stepping into like a temporary lead. You were temporarily taking over for the role of Glinda all that month, and I was going to come see you because I worked on the advertising team for Wicked. I was actually in a meeting at 3-2-1 when we found out that Broadway was shutting down. It was crazy. Susan came in the room and she was like, we're closing down for 2 weeks. But anyway, I was so excited to come see you as Glinda.
It's all over.
It's all over. Oh dear. But yeah, because wait, were you going to be doing like all of the performances that month, or was there like a different kind of schedule?
I was on for 3 weeks. My memory is not awesome with things that I try to block out. So I think I was going to be on for like 3 weeks, and I was doing like 7 of 8, maybe 6 of 8. I think there were a couple shows that the understudy was going to do. She hadn't really been on at all. So she was going to get to do some, like, it was going to be a good time.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying, who was Elphaba at the time? Was that Lindsay Pierce?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We were having fun. We were halfway into it. We were like a week into it, and then everything got pulled away.
Oh my goodness.
But that's okay. We'll be back.
I know. Yes, absolutely. We have so many questions and just like curiosities about different things from throughout your career, but it always helps to go back to the beginning.
The beginning. We asked this question of all of our guests, but we call it a Ring of Keys moment inspired by the musical Fun Home, that moment of recognition where you saw something and realized, oh my gosh, I identify with this. I want to be involved in the performing arts. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment for the theater?
I don't, actually. I think maybe I had a few, or maybe ones that I had kind of gradually funneled into it. I grew up singing. I wanted to be Mariah Carey. So that kind of was what I wanted to do. And then I guess my Ring of Keys moment in terms of like, this is what I want to do professionally, was in high school. We did a production of Les Mis and I played Fantine, and it just was unlike any other experience I'd ever had. And then when I realized that like Broadway was a thing and Broadway was a viable option, I didn't really know. I didn't grow up in a musical theater family. So I didn't really have a concept of Broadway. I knew about musicals because we had The Sound of Music and Cats and The Wiz on VHS, you know, aging myself. Yeah. I thought musicals were like musical movies. I didn't really think about the stage, you know.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting.
So once it all kind of clicked, I was like, oh, I can do this for a living. Yes, this is what I'm gonna do.
When you were like learning to find your voice, and you said you wanted to be Mariah, do you feel like you like adapted a lot of her vocalisms and stylings in the way that you would sing growing up?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I started taking private voice lessons when I was like 8, and I had my first voice teacher was an opera singer. So I trained classically for the first, you know, 4, I guess, plus years of my training. And then even my next vocal teacher, she was also an opera singer, but also did musical theater. So my background, my vocal background is very classical.
Could never have imagined that you'd be playing Glinda one day and singing opera at the top of the biggest show. Like, it all makes sense, you know?
Well, it took me a long time to be able to be hired to sing that way. You know, I had to, Mariah helped me with the other shows of my career.
That's true.
Mariah's mother is an opera singer. So like, connection.
Oh.
That's why she has that kind of control over her facility, because yes. She is trained.
Oh my goodness. I still need to get around to reading The Meaning of Mariah. We've been talking about it for months and I want to know, I want to understand her.
I haven't read it yet either. I'm a bad fan.
No, not at all. You've been busy, girl. Believe me.
I have been busy. You've
been so busy. So Les Mis was this production you were in high school. And then was that your first professional job after college as well?
It was. The tour was my first professional job. Of course, on the tour, I understudied Eponine, not Fantine. But it still felt really full circle for me.
Okay.
And then playing it on Broadway and actually getting to play Fantine on Broadway, then it was like another circle. I've been very, very blessed. It's been a fun ride so far.
Oh, I love that. We were looking at your credits and I was like, oh my God, I've actually seen you in so many of these things. What was it like being in Sunset Boulevard with Glenn Close?
She's everything you want her to be. You know how you meet some celebrities sometimes and they just really fall short of who you think they are?
Oh yeah.
She is so kind and generous and loving and just, and so like her talent, just watching her work, I felt like I was being paid to attend a masterclass.
That is amazing. Mm.
And I remember, because I was an onstage swing for that show. So there, it was me and one other person, we were on stage swings. And so basically we had tracks that were made to be cut at any moment. So we were always really high up in the staircases. And so during that scene, literally, I just would be on the banister, like, just watching her the whole number. I don't think I was acting at all. I was just watching.
Oh, what a moment. That's so great.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to see that production. And it is so, what she was able to do and how cool that show came back in that way. And she got to do it again. She seems like she's so humble.
She is.
And I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that she's putting out now with, she was in Hillbilly Elegy and she's like so grateful for the SAG nomination and things like that. She just seems so relatable and like a real person.
She is. She used to buy jigsaw puzzles and we would just do them between scenes, or, you know, cause she was on stage mostly. We were just kind of hanging out. And so she would buy us these like nice wooden jigsaw puzzles. And anytime she was off stage or during rehearsals, she would come over and we'd all sit and do puzzles. And her dog Pip was always in the theater. So it was a really nice environment.
That's so cute.
I love that. And now remind me, so didn't she only miss like one performance too, the entire run?
She only missed one performance and she showed up for it. Literally, she came to the theater and she had no voice whatsoever. And the night before, she basically talked the entire show. Like, she came on and it was still brilliant. Like, it was still a masterclass. But, you know, she couldn't really phonate at all. And she gave a little speech at the top of the show to basically be like, I can't sing, but I wanted to be here with all of you and just, you know, just extend a little bit of grace, but I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to be here with all of you. Like, to the audience, she did this.
Oh my goodness.
The next day she literally showed up to work. I think she was going to try to muscle enough to speak, to tell the audience that she was sorry for not being there. And she couldn't even do that. She just went home. And of course, Nancy, I mean, right. So glad she got to at least do it one time, because she brought the house down.
Oh, I love that. You've been lucky. You've seen so many strong women in leadership roles through so many of your shows. I mean, even just looking at your resume, I mean, Kristen Chenoweth, when you joined her on stage for her show, who would you say has been the biggest influence for you throughout your career?
That is such a hard question.
Maybe even someone you've never met.
Well, the first time, the very first Broadway show that I saw on Broadway, because I saw a few touring options, but my first Broadway show was 110 in the Shade with Audra. And to see someone who looked like me singing the way that I wanted to sing was kind of life-changing for me. Because up until then, I hadn't seen myself represented in that way. I'd only seen myself needing to sing other ways or in pop culture. And I had never seen anyone do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also seeing that cast was very diverse and it didn't matter. Like, it didn't matter that her dad was white and that it, like, mm-hmm. no one cared. We were all there to see the story being told and to listen to that gorgeous music. Oh my gosh. And that, I think, really adjusted my perspective of what was possible. I don't think that I knew that it adjusted my perspective until much later, but it was that mm-hmm. Audra. It's always Audra.
It's always Audra. You know, and I can't help but think about how, you know, you stepping into Glinda, being in the bubble, wearing the dress, all singing those songs, that you have been that, we'll call it a Ring of Keys moment for so many young people. Because Wicked, I mean, how many seats are in that theater? And how many times have people got to see you go on? Like, I think that the circle does, it's never unbroken. And now you are that for so many people.
Yeah, that is something that I do not take lightly at all. And I feel really grateful and honored to be that. Sometimes it feels like it's not my life. Like, I can't, even when you were reading my bio, I was like, wow, have I really done that? Like, every time I hear it, I'm stunned every time. I'm like, wow, how lucky I am. And it really does. I feel really honored to be able to represent people and to give people something to look up to and to work up to, especially knowing how hard I've worked and I've pushed, hopefully to make it easier for other people. But that is crazy. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It also reminds me, one of my guilty pleasure movies, if we want to go there, one of my guilty pleasure movies is Win a Date with Pat Hamilton.
Oh my God.
Love.
I forgot about that movie. Yes.
Yep. Topher Grace. Yep. And there's this line in there and the bartender, and she's like, everyone is Tad Hamilton to somebody. And that's how I feel with this Audra thing. It's like, Audra will always be Audra for me, but like, I'm Audra for someone. And that is mind blowing.
And you carry it with so much grace, Brittany. I mean, you radiate kindness and generosity and positivity. And how lucky are we to get to see you break barriers? I remember the day, I actually had a friend who was in the audience the day that you went on Glinda for the first time, but you were in the company long before you eventually went on. And I remember finding out you understudied Glinda because it was either it might've been on your Instagram profile and it sort of went viral. Someone like took a screenshot of your profile and was like, this is an emergency. Like, we need to discuss, like, how cool is this? Maybe it was like the summer before. I would even say it was because you went on in January of that year.
Yeah, I went on in January and I joined the company the previous June.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense.
So I posted about it when I booked it and I wrote, you know, I wrote this little blurb or whatever, and that did go a little bit viral. But then, you know, then I didn't go on for like 7 months.
I know.
And then of course the post that I posted about it, that went crazy viral. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That whole experience was crazy for me. Like, I woke up one day and like 14 people knew who I was. And then by the time I went to sleep that night, I had to turn my phone off because it was just like,
wow, that makes me cry. Like, I am like, that's incredible.
I really wish that I had a chance to see you play Glinda. And I know that I will someday, maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows, but
maybe this year. I hope this year. I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so too. I feel like having you know, the character of Glinda, she really goes through the big change in the show, right? And I think sometimes people write off how much acting is involved in making that transformation so satisfying for the audience to watch, because, you know, we go on this journey with her. I mean, we do start at the end of it, but we watch her become the iconic, you know, Glinda the Good from, you know, The Wizard of Oz or whatever, you know. And I can imagine having a Black actress playing that role, having you play that role, must deepen every stitch of her being, you know?
Absolutely. I think it absolutely does. Especially because now when I play her, Elphaba is not an other just because she is a woman of color, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you look at Glinda in a new way. And also because, I mean, let's be honest, when I'm on, there aren't a whole lot of other women of color also on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So we both kind of stand out in that way. So why is Glinda the popular one? Why is she the one that we all love when she's kind of narcissistic? She's not that easy to like. I tried very hard to make her very likable. And I think you make her likable. The thing that I learned, I think, to make her likable is she's actually very vulnerable. And I think there's a lot of insecurity there. And there is, she needs people to like her.
Mm-hmm.
Only people who are very insecure need people to like them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is what grounds her and makes her this person that people love. She honestly does everything that she does, she genuinely thinks is best for everyone because it's best for her. Like, there is no malice in her at all. Mm-hmm. So I worked very hard to make sure that she was likable.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that moment in Dancing Through Life when Elphaba enters and Glinda, that's like such a key moment. And Glinda realizes what she's done. And then she joins her. And it's like, I get so choked up every time. Who was your Fiero when you would go on most of the time?
I had a lot of Fieros, actually. Jake Boyd. Who were some of my other Fieros? I had Ryan McCartan. I was his first Glinda.
Oh, yes.
Who else did I have? Kyle Dean.
Oh, yeah.
He is a dream. There's no acting required when he's on, man. He is Fiero.
Oh, he's a dream.
Yeah, those were my names.
Oh my God, I love it. I remember seeing you actually in Ryan McCartan's solo show at 50. I worked at 54 Below up until the pandemic. And you did a little Rocky Horror moment, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
So cute. So fun. He's amazing.
He Wait, so did you know Kristen before doing her For the Girls show? Like, had she seen you play Glinda?
No, I don't think so. I don't think she's seen me yet. I think she was going to see me before all of this happened. But I remember when I went on, she sent me a necklace either the night of my debut or maybe after it had been announced, but she sent me this necklace that says toss toss on it with this like handwritten note of congratulations. And I, of course, wept because it was Kristen Chenoweth and she knew who I was. And she sent me a gift. And I still have it. I have it in my drawer.
I would keep that forever. I would guard that with my life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. I only wear it on very, very special occasions.
Oh, I love her. Talk about Ring of Keys moments.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One last question about Wicked, and then I promise we'll move on. It's just one of our favorites. When you would do the show, was there ever a moment that you were, like, always looking forward to each night? Like, everyone, you know, Wicked fans are so devoted. Everyone has their favorite Glinda and Elphaba song, like, favorite outfit. Like, my personally, I love Thank Goodness for Glinda. Like, I think that's such a great moment. But I'm just curious what your favorite moment of the night was.
Thank Goodness actually is. Mm-hmm. Thank Goodness is my favorite. Vocally, it's the most fun to sing for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it does so much. And it's one of those like story songs because I don't have to do anything except stand there and tell the story. I feel like that is the pinnacle of her arc where she's asking all of the questions that have come up for her for the whole song. She's just gone through this kind of publicly traumatic event that now she's had to kind of flip around she told him that they were engaged. But again, she only does things that she thinks are good for everyone. And she genuinely thought that he was going to be excited and that he was in the same place. And so then to have it all turn on its head and then to have to be reminded of the fact that her best friend is out there missing. And she's probably feeling some kind of way that she doesn't seem to have been looking for them. Like, she probably feels abandoned too. And then she has to go back and like be Glinda for everyone else. Maintain that. That's hard to do. And it's something that I definitely relate to, having to be everyone's Glinda when sometimes you're going through your own stuff, but people need you to be that, and you want to be that for them. And so you are, and you push through it for them because you want to, even though your heart is breaking, you know? So that definitely is my favorite song, and the dress.
Of course.
I love it. The corset and the bustle and the hat and the updo.
Oh, it's fierce. We love a bustle. Bustles are underrated.
I love a bustle. They give you a nice little cinch and then a whoo in the back, you know?
Oh my God. Love it. Okay. Wait. So before we move on to our final segment, Brittany, do you feel like you have a dream role of something you'd love to do on Broadway?
I have so many dreams. I want to originate something. That really is what I want to do. I'd love to originate something that is kind of written around me, that is written for my strength and that's challenging. I mean, I would love for Thumbelina to be made into a musical.
Oh my goodness.
But
yes.
Also something brand new, you know, that isn't already a story. Maybe I need to just write it and then pitch it. That's what I need to do. It's already written. Like, it's already a musical. Just like put me in it. But yeah, I want to originate something, and I want to play Christine in Phantom.
That would be great.
It's on my bucket list for sure.
Well, that's the opera there.
Yeah. You know? That was one of my first ones that I was like, I saw the movie and I was like, oh, I must. And I would sing it all around the house, and I still do sometimes.
Wow. I'm thinking about it. Have we had a Black Christine on Broadway?
Not on Broadway. I think on tour.
Okay.
But nope, not on Broadway.
Eye roll, major eye roll.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yes.
Oh, I need to hear you sing Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again. That would be iconic.
That's the one that usually gets all the encores at my house.
Yeah.
Just for myself.
Well, we are sadly wrapping up, but before we say goodbye, we like to end on a dose of drama, which could be a little pop culture recommendation, something you want to rant about, rave about, to leave our listeners with a little something to ponder as they go about their day. And my dose of drama is something that I actually do feel really dramatic about. It's that this weekend I finished binge watching Broad City, and I am so unwell. It was everything. It is such a funny show, a beautiful story about female friendship during a specific time in your life. It's just an incredible show. It's so funny. I love Abby and Alana. I would lay down my life for them. And I was sad. I didn't want to watch the ending because I didn't want to say goodbye to the girls, you know?
I felt that way when I watched Broad City too.
It was so good. It was so good.
What I've been binging, or not actually binging, but the show that I'm watching, I've actually been very patient because I'm watching it with someone else. And so our schedules have to like line up, and I've been very good. I haven't watched any of it without him.
That's tough.
We've been watching Search Party.
Oh, we just finished that as well.
Oh my goodness. We have 2 episodes left of season 4. It took me a couple episodes to get into it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to like push through. And then it just turned and I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think I binged all 3 seasons in 3 days.
I think we did too.
That's fair. They're so digestible. It is so good. This final season is wild.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And it's like all those characters are like, they're people that you know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we all know those people. And like talk about the fragility of your reality and the fragility of like how quickly life can turn. it makes me wonder what kind of deep psychological, you know, issues or, you know, things are going on that once they're unlocked, what we're all capable of.
Oh my God. Brittany, when you finish the show, you've got to let us know, because the last two episodes of season four are crazy.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. Whoo!
Cole Escola on that show, they are just so funny and so like scary, as I'm the name of their character is slipping my mind, but just all the layers of
Elliot and Portia, them?
No, Cole is the one who has our main character locked away.
Oh.
I know. When dressing up as the aunt.
Oh my, like my skin crawls. Yeah. Brilliant.
It's a revelation of a performance.
So good.
And of course you see so many Broadway cameos, like Bonnie Milligan is in the show and
Lilius on the screen. I was like, what?
Okay, that's my dose of drama. She's iconic and everyone needs to follow her on all social media. I don't believe she's verified on Instagram. We need to get her verified.
And she's brilliant in everything she's in, like everything that she's in.
When she like drops the F-bomb on air in the show, it's so funny.
Oh my gosh. I was like, oh my God. Like I've never seen her like that.
I know. She's amazing.
She saw me do a reading one time and she came up to me afterwards and was like complimenting me. And I was staring into her eyes like, thank you. You're so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I feel wonderful because you think I'm wonderful. Like I just,
I could see y'all doing mother daughter and then something. I could see that.
Well, I want her as Morrible, Madame Morrible.
Oh, she would be a phenomenal Morrible.
That'd be great.
She'd be terrifying.
We'd have to add a song for
Alex
her.
Alex Billings is my Morrible right now.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. She definitely, she needs a number.
Yeah.
But Alex, oh my goodness. That scene on the balcony when she's like, so just smile and wave and shut. The first time she did that with me, I about peed my pants.
I can imagine.
I ran off the stage.
Oh my God. My friend Kevin saw Alex. I heard that she is just terrifying in the role in the best way. So I hope she's back on Broadway when you guys go back.
I know. I hope she comes back. I don't know. I haven't talked to her. But she, I mean, because she's so sweet when she's sweet, she has this thing about her, like she can switch on a dime and it is so intense. Like she'll go from a 10 to a 10 on each side of the coin. And that I think is what was so terrifying, is that she just snatched me up and I was like, like genuinely.
I love that. And of course, listeners would know Alex from Transparent. And she's the first trans actress to play Madame Morrible on Broadway or ever, anywhere.
Ever.
That
yeah.
we know of, yeah.
Wicked's doing something right. We just need a full-time Black Elphaba. That's like the next one thing that needs to happen.
We need a full-time Black Glinda. Like, we still haven't had that.
Yes, honestly. I know. To me, you are Glinda, so it's just like...
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, I cannot wait until Broadway is back so we can see you coming down in that bubble. And when you say, it's good to see me, isn't it? I think that the room will be on their feet with joy and relief that we're back.
Oh,
we're back.
Won't that be wonderful?
Well, thank you so, so much for your time today, Brittany. We've been trying to get you for so long. You're so in demand and you did not disappoint. You are so kind. No. Listen, let your star shine. We'll always be here. You know?
Worth the wait.
We are just so thrilled and thankful for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
Oh, good. That means a lot.
Everybody follow Brittany at Sunny Brittany on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us at The Drama Podcast, me at Connor McDowell, Dylan at Dylan McDowell.
Yes. And of course, Connor, we will see you next time.
Drama.